Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
President of Baseball Operations for the Guardians will join us coming up in 20 minutes.
What? I can't hear you.
Hey, it's fine now. They're just playing music. They stopped applauding your takes. And the crowd noise in the back
was,
has settled down
was
a little bit.
That like make your ears bleed.
That was obnoxiously loud.
Oh, man.
It was there's no way around it. It was obnoxiously loud. Like, think of when you go to a Cavs game in the LeBron era.
Yeah.
Not like now where they've toned it down very nicely. Thank you, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, whoever made that decision that we don't need to just – oh, I better get me the insurer because this might be the oldest rant I ever have. But, like, in the LeBron era – you know it, Jason. That was incredibly loud. Like, was that a LeBron thing? What was that?
It wasn't because of him. It was just trying to get the place going. But
the place was already going.
We sat next to the DJ.
It's a four straight finals. It was already going.
I can't hear out of my left ear because of those four
ears. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you should put in hazard pay. Between that and now you put on the headsets all the time,
yeah.
You are doing your ears no favor. I've resigned to the fact when I'm – because I can barely hear already as it is. When I'm 60, 65, 70,
no chance.
It's gone.
Yeah, no
just
chance.
Just gone. And it's not going to be pretty. But, at least I have my eyesight where when I don't wear my contacts, I am legally blind. So there's that. Minus 7.5.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. It's not great.
I'm the same. I have astigmatism, so I'm blind without my contacts.
Really? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't know how people did it way back, like 2,000 years ago?
Yeah.
How did you do it? People came by, they broke your glasses, and then you're just out of commission? Like, what happened? There's no sword to just go to and pick up something really quick.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Jack, you stepped on my glasses. I guess I'm just I don't see for the rest of my life.
Not see the rest of my life.
I get one pair, and that's it.
Oh, it's back.
Ah. We jinxed it. 216-578-0092. Let's go to Bear in Cleveland. I'm next to the fan. Hello, Bear. How are you?
How's it going, dude? I'm in Margaritaville, not Cleveland.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bear. Go ahead.
I'm a big Cleveland fan. I played on the practice squad in the 60s, and so I love football. It's my life. I watch a lot of film. I'm a Cleveland fan, and I just need a winner. I just need a good, solid winning season, right, that makes us feel good about ourselves. I mean, you know, I don't have to go to the Super Bowl, but I need a good, solid season, and I don't know how you can do that amongst this controversy.
I mean, and that's the case I was kind of making, Bear, and I appreciate the phone call. Like, part of my stake on this is, and I think Jason had about as good a rebuttal as you'll find, but the Raiders were an absolute dumpster fire last year. Nobody can question that. They were as tumultuous as you'd find, and then they turn around, and this is what kind of bothers me about it. They go to the postseason. They have one of the more successful seasons in the Derek Carr era. On an individual level, he was as good as he'd ever been as a quarterback. And everyone just like, well, they overcame adversity. They know how to overcome adversity. Well, right now the theme for the Browns is they're in such a spot and a position that they can't possibly win because they have so much going on. At what point does it just turn to them being like, oh, well, guess they can just overcome adversity?
Well,
the lines get blurred for me, Jason.
They're incredibly talented. This is an incredibly talented football team.
Yes.
So they got that going for them. This is a far more talented team. 2 through 53, as we were joking with Jim Donovan.
Yeah, true.
Than the Raiders were last year. Like, this is one of the top teams in the AFC.
No question. No question.
But the deciding difference for me was Derek Carr last year and the way that he responded to that team and the way that he pulled those guys together. I don't know that that guy exists right now. Can Myles Garrett be that guy as a defensive end? I don't know. I truly don't know. That's something that the quarterback really is supposed to do. I don't see Jacoby Brissett doing that.
And if it's not the quarterback, it's supposed to be the head coach, right? And the problem I have in that scenario, and oh boy, I hate that this is the take I have on it, because the initial take is just dripping with homerism and how great can the Browns possibly be, right? But if I'm to believe, Jason, that the head coach is supposed to, like, Kevin Stefanski's weight in gold is realized by the fact that he is a let's get over adversity guy, I would ask you, where was that last year when adversity hit this team?
Again, I point to the quarterback.
I know, and that's part of the problem. Like, they were hit with enough of it. So if you don't have a head coach that can prove he can overcome adversity, you don't have a quarterback that can prove that they can overcome adversity. I'm not saying this team is dead in the water because I don't believe it to be true. You're making a lot of really good points, though, Jason.
Yeah, I just I don't know. I just think that everyone at this point just needs some clarity and they need some resolution. That's no big headline. But they need some resolution to this. I think everybody has Deshaun Watson fatigue at this point. And they just want to know. They just want to know. Is it the year? Then fine. Just then put the bullet in our head and give us the year. Is it 8? Is it 10? Is it 12? Let's just have clarity on what this is so that we can put together a plan going forward. Because I don't even know how you put together a plan at this point. How do you approach?
How do you have that meeting?
We're halfway through. And how do you approach tomorrow and the day after and the week after when you just don't know? You just don't know how it's going to end.
Anthony Schwartz, by the way, had a corner end zone. He can do it in practice. Don't know if he can do it in the game. Do you believe in football yips, so to speak, though?
No, I don't.
Because we've seen some sure-handed guys end up with butterfingers.
To the point that it derailed a career, though?
Not necessarily that. I mean, everyone can get over the yips.
I mean, I'm looking
unless you're Chuck Knoblauch, you can get over the nips, you know?
Right, right. I you know.
Now, I'm not suggesting you do the tin cup. Put the T behind the ear and do all that wackiness, but like something is wrong with Schwartz when the lights go on.
I think that you can have a confidence issue. Yes, for sure.
Okay. Maybe we call it that as opposed to the yips.
As a professional receiver in the NFL, you can for sure have a confidence issue. I mean, listen, all the problems started, and I think we put way too much on the shoulder injury. I've said that a million times, but all of these problems trace back to Anthony Schwartz cutting a route short against Houston.
Right.
And Baker trying to make the tackle and initially hurting the shoulder. And it all unraveled from there. And it has to weigh on him.
David Bell, by the way, shorthanded as shorthanded gets, made another nice grab over here.
I got my back to it. You get to see. You're doing play-by-play. I'm not even watching.
I'm not doing play-by-play, but I do feel bad that, like, I'm in this setup where I can look and see everything. And then you. But we don't want you seeing everything. We need your eyes on the prize.
Yeah,
keep it over here.
My ADD
keep
is
it over here.
Just...
In my eyes,
charts.
I treat you the same way I treat Dustin.
Focus.
Where I'm like, hey, action's over here.
Come on back.
We're having a conversation.
You're
doing great.
Between the radio row that we have set up here all the other crews going on, practice behind me, the noise.
I almost want to like Pavlov dog it with you, where I give you like little treats every time you like acknowledge and give a good take back, and I'm like, good job, Jason.
If you notice, I haven't even turned around. I really haven't even hardly turned around. Yeah,
I thought I lost you there for a second a couple minutes ago, but you got right back with me. Twitter reactions are brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry stores. As I now risk the chance of losing him as I tell him how the real Xavier P, somebody who I'm not simpatico with real Xavier P. He tweets a ton. Usually he's just him yelling at me. But he says, we agree again, Jonathan. I'm a Jimmy Haslam guy as well. Name one person who was hired that wasn't a good call at the time and name a firing that wasn't warranted. I ride with Jimmy. So you asked for the fans to speak up on Jimmy Haslam's support. There it is.
How about Freddie Kitchens? That was an awful call at the time.
Talk to Xavier, not me. I am only
pro. If you have to fire a guy a year or two after hiring him, it was not a good hire.
I'm a new convert to the pro Jimmy Haslam camp, okay?
No,
it is showed me he wants to win at all costs.
I'm not there yet.
That's where I turn the page on Jimmy Haslam.
I'm not there yet.
I like being in his camp. I think it's a fun camp to be a part of. Chris Antonetti will join us, by the way, coming up in about 10 minutes. Of course, president of the baseball operations for the Guardians. What do the Guardians have to do to get people as invested in this team as I seem to be in from a night-to-night I'm not missing a pitch, Jason. I'm invested into this team. I get invested every year with baseball and with the Guardians in particular because, you know, it's fun for me. But I'm not sensing – for a team that's played this good, I'm not sensing the vibes are there for the rest of the fan base.
It's incredibly frustrating. I mean, I just looked it up to make sure I had it right. 62-54, two games up in first place. What are you waiting for? Like, I don't understand what fans are waiting for. And the whole, well, they don't re-sign their guys. Okay, so if they were 62-54 and Frankie was at short, you'd come? That doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense.
So I've always had concerns about Cleveland being a three-sport town. I was really glad that the Guardians got the extension done that they did when they did. Because the amount of dollars in this city, how long can they support three teams? The answer is at least another 15 years or so. I don't have it in front of me.
Thankfully, yeah.
But, I mean, the Indians were in their heyday, and I can say Indians because they were the Indians at the time, when these guys weren't here, when mm-hmm. there was no reason to be in Berea, when the Browns didn't exist. That's when they sold out 455 in a row. And, you know, I look at things like Sherwin-Williams bringing their headquarters downtown. That's a really good thing. And if there's more business that comes in and there's more people that come into the city, you know, maybe we can sort of turn this in terms of supporting three teams. But baseball, just Cleveland has not been a baseball town for the last 20 years.
Yeah, but I've never gone back to it being a socioeconomic issue. I've never done that. you're starting to make me rethink my proposition on that, though.
There's only certain, there's only so many expendable dollars.
Well, but like
disposable. That's the word I was looking for. Disposable dollars.
Maybe because we're just coming off the Field of Dreams. I'm thinking of like the, if you build it, they will come. If you win, they will come has always kind of been the mantra, you would think. And it was proven to a degree with the World Series run. But that regular season wasn't necessarily proven that.
No, they go to Game 7 of the World Series. The payroll does go up. Edwin Encarnacion comes here. And the payroll ticked up, but it wasn't like they were top five, top ten.
No, but like right now, though, they are winning at a pace right now that it shouldn't be 13,000 every night.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
That's insane.
And the fact that people don't know who these players are, okay, I guess, yeah. But they're winning. Get to know them. Like, now's a pretty good time to show up and figure out who Andrés Giménez is, who Owen Miller is.
Which is amazing because he's an all-star. Like, you should know who Andrés Giménez is.
And I'm sure, like, diehards do.
No, but,
sure
no but not everyone. You say Owen Miller, though. Like, if I were to do a poll of random Guardians fans, how many people can pick out Austin Hedges, for instance? And I'm not even saying he's the right example. I'm just saying he's somebody that came to my mind that isn't necessarily on the marquee every single night.
Correct.
But is definitely a part of this team.
Owen Miller would be another example. Josh
yes.
Naylor would be another example. How many people could pick out Josh Naylor?
Well, maybe a little bit. That's a little bit more. I mean, he's got some identifier with the hair.
Yeah, the hair kind of gives him away, but I don't
looks
know.
Looks like Sideshow Bob. I mean, come on. Like, he's not that hard to pick out. But I see what you're saying. It's kind of wild in the spot that they're in right now, and I've never looked at it from this perspective before because I don't think that's typically fair. I don't think it's fair for the city even. But when you're winning and no one's paying attention at this rate, something the bells have to be sounding off somewhere.
And, you know, the only other team really in this position, Tampa Bay, and they're always at the bottom as well in payroll and everything else. And, you know, it's the location of the stadium, the fact the stadium is awful, are probably
– that's a big part of it. I always – yes, yeah.
With the Rays.
It's 45 minutes from anything.
That's not the case here. The stadium is still gorgeous. It's still beautiful. Mm-hmm. I wish that, and they're going to redo it. You know, they're in the process of redoing
it.
Yeah,
the stadium, it's like a bar.
The location is fine.
It's a bar with bases around it. It's insane what they do. They got beer, they got food, they got everything you'd ever want.
I would contend that LeBron created a generation of basketball fans that previously did not exist in Cleveland.
Hmm.
And that has made the Cavs the number two. And the championship certainly helps. And people love Dan Gilbert because he'll spend money. And so that's always sort of kept the Cavs, even in their lean years, that sort of kept people hovering around the Cavs. I mean, they were selling out. When LeBron left the first time, they were still selling out the
right.
place. And
right.
a lot of that had to do with season tickets. And I understand the season ticket deadline was when he was still here and a lot of people re-upped. But, I mean, the place was packed. They were on a 26-game losing streak, and the place was jammed. When they beat the Clippers in double overtime.
Yeah, that re-up thing was garbage, by the way. My father-in-law, he got caught up in that.
A lot of people did.
But yeah, that wasn't great.
But the Cavs still drew well, even when, in their lean years. And it just and again, that's why I go back to the disposable income and how much is there and can Cleveland support all three teams.
On that point, though, the Cavs, you're only it's a 20,000-seat arena, and you're only playing, you know, you're playing half the amount of games.
Oh, they're outdrawing 20,000-seat arena. They're still outdrawing with the Guardians.
If they sell that out, yeah. If they sell that out, then yeah. My focus on this, though, is more about the fact that, and maybe you're right, maybe that's just the bigger picture story here, is that you just can't have three teams, and you can't support three teams. But if you can't root for this Guardians team, you're never going to root for a Guardians team.
It's the best run team in town. It's not even close.
Not even close?
I've said that for years and years and years and years, even when LeBron was here, even when the Cavs won the championship. The way that this team is run, the way that Chris Antonetti, Mike Chernoff, Terry Francona, the way they can compete and keep this team, the way that they can trade Corey Kluber, Trevor Bauer, Mike Clevinger, Francisco Lindor, Carlos Carrasco, and not miss a beat and stay in contention year after year after year, rebuild while contend, all these things that are unbelievably difficult to do, and they pull it off time and time again.
The president of baseball operations, Chris Antonetti, here on 92.3 The Fan. Chris, thanks for giving us a few minutes. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure, guys. How are you today?
Good. We're live in Berrio for Browns training camp, so if you hear a bunch of applauses, it's not for Jason Lloyd's takes, although that's what I'm applauding. It's more for the Browns doing work.
Oh, whatever.
It certainly won't be for anything I say. On the another little applause certainly won't be for anything I say, so I'm glad you gave me that heads up.
It's definitely for what you've been able to put together on the field. You know, I get daily tweets when anytime Andrés Giménez does something great of Antonetti won the Lindor trade. And I said, well, okay, we can't bear it out quite yet. But so far, early returns, Chris, you guys have done very good there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hope was when you make trades like that, that it's a deal that works out for both sides. And it's been great to see Francisco have a great year in New York and get back to the player we all got a chance to see in Cleveland. But at the same time, we've got the benefit of seeing two of the guys that we got back, and Andre Jimenez and Ahmed Rosario, make a big, you know, big contribution to our team this year and be, you know, cornerstones for our success moving forward.
Chris, you say every year you want to contend, but does this feel internally like you guys are ahead of schedule? Because certainly publicly it feels that way.
Yeah, I think I appreciate that there, you know, has to be narratives written in the off season and people make predictions, but we really don't concern ourselves with that. We try to focus, as you've heard, Jason, you're around Tito, you hear each day, like our goal is each day to be one run better than the other team on any given day, find a way to win that game. And our group of guys have come together to build an identity, to find a way to do that. And, you know, we're obviously in the middle of August and in the thick of a pennant race, so it's fun and exciting.
Chris, how hard was it to, and you know, there's different reports that you guys were in for Soto, for instance, and a couple other players, but how hard was it at the deadline to say, you know what, no deal materialized the way that we wanted?
Yeah, it's definitely not in our nature. I think if you examine our history, we tend to be pretty active at different periods of time, especially around the trade deadline and years in which we're in contention. But I think it really speaks to the group of players we have here. And as we've talked internally and had conversations with Tito and our coaching staff, so often the calculus wasn't about, like, who is the player we're getting back, but who is it we would have to take off the team, and how would that change our dynamic? In a lot of cases, we felt really good with the guys that we had, and that led us to have a pretty narrow focus to the deadline, and there were a number of players that we pursued, but it was a targeted group, and in the end, many of those players didn't get moved, and the few that did, you know, the asking prices were just too high and would have hurt us too much in the long term.
How do you go about trying to identify where you have to get better? And I know you're not going to come on here and say, oh, you know what, we really need to improve right field or whatever it is.
But it'd be great if you did. But
when you have all of these young guys that you're trying to evaluate and you have all of these minor leaguers, and we've talked at length about the 40-man roster and the fact you guys added 11 minor leaguers and how unusual that is and sort of the problems that it can cause on the 25-man, how do you navigate all this? How do you figure all this out? And I guess most importantly, at what point does something have to give in terms of how the 40-man is currently structured?
Yeah, so maybe on the first part, like, there's no magic answer to that. I mean, it's a lot of analysis from our group in the front office, a lot of dialogue with our coaches and our other evaluators to help us understand what's currently happening and what's the best path forward for us to be a competitive team. And, you know, in some cases, it's pretty easy to identify opportunities to improve, and in other cases, it's more difficult. And this year, again, because of the contributions of guys up and down the roster, sometimes from maybe unexpected places where young players stepped in immediately and contributed at a high level, those holes just weren't as obviously apparent.
Go ahead, Chris.
Touch on the second question?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I was jumping the gun there. My bad, Chris.
Well, so on the roster construction, again, I know a lot was made of it, but one of the things that we were hopeful with that group is they would find a way to contribute and help us win this year, which a number of them have. And the guys that didn't would be able to really take steps forward in their development where they would be contributors for us in the near future. And so as we head into the offseason now, you know, you look up and that group has made an impact on our major league team in a number of cases. In other cases, they may have got a taste of the major leagues and are back in AAA, you know, either pitching or playing there. And the few guys that didn't are, you know, at the upper levels of our minors. So as we look forward to next year, we expect really almost the entirety of that group to be in a position to help contribute next year. And then as we look forward to the offseason, we again are seeing a lot of the roster decisions that we might make this offseason. Those players are probably closer to the major leagues than maybe the group was from last year. So I know there's been a lot of attention focused on that, you know, our roster and what that looks like. But right now we view it as we're in an enviable position because we've got a really deep and talented 40-man roster. And the exciting thing for us as we look forward for our planning is that a bulk of that group is going to contribute to our major league team and hopefully help us win next year.
Yeah, and Chris, what's been so impressive to me is looking up and down and then seeing how you balance that. Obviously, you get guys like Oscar Gonzalez, who entering this year was the 29th best prospect rated in the system, comes out guns a-blazing, and then, like, great, we got him. He's set now. But it hasn't changed what you guys have been able to do in bringing up guys like, you know, Freeman and other players that maybe, you know, for the longest time were like, how long are they? How far away are these guys?
Right. And it does take some patience in those, you know, in cases like that where – you know, you always want things immediately, but it's tough to shortchange the development process, and building the skills of becoming a good major league player takes time. And I also don't think it'll be surprising to see this group, and we've seen it with individuals already. There's going to be periods in which they struggle, and you know, how they handle that struggle and how they come out of it will have a, you know, give us a great sense of what the future may hold for them. And you know, you can look at, you know, just as an example, how Stephen Kwangier has materialized with a great start, went through some struggles, you know, could have gone a couple different ways. And to Stephen's credit, he put in the work with our coaches to make some adjustments back, and he's come on and been a force for us in the second half. So if we can have more stories like that, it bodes really well for our future.
Chris, I'm doing this off the top of my head. I think Terry's contract up at the end of this year, and do you expect, I know we're a little bit ahead of schedule, or a little jump in the gun a little bit, it's August, we still have a postseason to get through, but do you anticipate that he will be back beyond this season?
Yeah, Tito and I have talked a lot about that. I think, as I've told Tito, and I've been pretty candid publicly, like we want Tito to manage here as long as Tito wants to manage and feels that he's, you know, he's able to health-wise. And we both agreed it probably makes sense to maybe look up a little bit at the end of the season and just see how he's feeling, and you know, he can then can have a better sense of what that looks like. But I know he's been energized by this year's team. He's excited. His energy levels have been consistent throughout the season, and I know he's excited for what's in front of us for the balance of the season, and that's where our focus is. But I think you all know how I and we feel about Tito and the difference maker he is for our organization.
Chris, can you take the fans through like the day-to-day and how you go through this with Tito? You know, certain franchises, especially with really smart analytics front offices like you guys have, you know, certain ones, they'll do everything from telling the manager in the seventh inning, like, hey, make this move and bring in this guy and do this, and it almost feels robotic. You guys don't do that with Tito. Can you go through the day-to-day and how you guys put together a game plan for even just, you know, game 132 against Detroit?
Yeah, it's a lot of dialogue. And I think it probably is best to zoom out. It's like we really take a collaborative approach in how we lead our baseball operations group. So Tito is involved and has, you know, is aware of potential acquisitions we might make through trades and free agency in the offseason at the trade deadline. He's part of those conversations. And, you know, we're part of the conversations on how we deploy the roster that we have. And we spend a lot of time kind of working through all the different angles of that. And ultimately, obviously, I've got to make decisions on the, you know, which players we bring in. And but on the day-to-day, we leave those decisions to Tito. And we're really fortunate that we have a great dynamic with he and our coaching staff, that we're all on the same team. We all work together. We all kind of contribute. And if someone has an idea or a thought, whether that's on an acquisition or on how we could deploy guys during the game or the way we use the bullpen or something like that, we have a great environment which those ideas can surface and we can talk through them to, you know, generate the best ideas.
Chris, I didn't really like the Clevinger trade when it first went down. I was kind of grumbling about it and thought he's one of your better pitchers. Make a run for it while you still have these guys. And this is why you are where you are and where I am where I am, because that may go down as the best one yet when you look at some of the names that you guys got in exchange for Mike. Can you just pull back the curtain a little bit on how do you put a trade together? When do you start identifying pieces that you like, and how long does it take for? And I just threw that out as an example because it's turning out to look like a home run. It doesn't have to be that one specifically, but just in general, how do you start identifying pieces that you like, and how do you start putting trades together? Because you guys win a whole lot more than you lose.
Well, again, our goal on trades is for those to work out for both teams, and you know, we're now starting to see Clevinger.
Yeah, but it's more important it works out for you.
So I think, I mean, with the Padres, I think it would almost be like it'd be impossible for us not to know their players given the amount of the deals we've either made with them or almost made with them.
Right.
So we've spent quite a bit of time in their system over the years. But we really try to have, and we've got a group that's, you know, really focused and devoted to knowing, you know, players outside of our organization to help prepare us for the different periods of acquisition throughout the course of the year. And, you know, as we go through the calendar, there are times we're intensely working with that group and focused and making sure that we have the information we need to try to, you know, put together the trades that might make sense. But I know you're probably tired of hearing me say it, but it's really a collective, collaborative effort with people from across the organization contributing to, you know, both the acquisition decisions and also how we help players develop.
Chris, it's amazing. I mean, between that and then the Class A deal and everything, I mean, everything you do, it just, you touch it and it turns to gold. It's truly outstanding. And I'm to the point.
I appreciate that.
It's amazing. You're amazing. I'm to the point, Chris, where I think to myself, I'm like, does part of you guys worry if, like, you know, in the NFL, you have the Patriots, and, like, no one wants to do a deal with the Patriots because they know it's like, wait, if we're doing something with the Patriots, they know something we don't know, so we're going to have to backtrack here. Like, you guys are, if not already at that point, you're getting to that point with baseball.
Well, I appreciate the confidence you have in us. At the same time, I have enough humility to know, and I've been doing it long enough, that the tide can turn quickly. And those sentiments where it seems like where everything we do might be working out, they can change in a heartbeat. So we try to really focus on our continual effort to, you know, how do we make sure we do our jobs as best we can and take advantage of the opportunities we have to bring great players into the organization, and then really importantly, try to create the best environment here for them to grow and develop and be the best versions of themselves. And I really do think that that latter element has been a difference maker for us, is the environment, you know, and if you think about the way Tito obsesses about putting players in a position to succeed and all of the small conversations he and our coaches have to help players along at the major league level, those things are happening throughout our organization, and I think we really see the benefit of that.
When you look at the construction of this roster and you look at the relentlessness of this lineup and the way that they put the ball in play and make things happen, that can't be a mistake. That can't be by accident. And it's so much different than launch angle and wait for the three-run homer and the way baseball has been played for the last however many years. Was this a shift in philosophy, or how did this come together? I understand some of these guys came in trade. I get that. But to start identifying some of the markers that you clearly are looking for on the offensive side of the ball, what was the evolution of that like, and just how you target guys and how you develop guys?
Jason, there are a lot of ways for players to contribute at the major league level, right? You can do it in different ways. Some guys are defensive oriented, some guys are power oriented, some guys are contact oriented. We happen to have a group this year where their calling card is the way they control the strike zone and put balls into play, and the way we run the bases and the defense we play. And that's obviously been some of the strengths of our team. But if you look back over the past few years, we've had different strengths. Sometimes it's around, you know, our, you know, ability to have extra base hits or a different offensive approach or ability to, you know, get on base with a walk. But the group that we have right now does a really good job of putting the ball in play, and we're seeing the benefits of that combined with really good base running and really good defense lead us to, you know, to be in games more often than not.
Chris Antonetti joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. Chris, I know what would be a successful season in my mind. I think at this point you got to make it to the postseason.
Did I leave you out? Sorry about that.
Chris. Yeah. No, we heard the end of it. I just got to ask you, like, what do you think is a successful mark for this season for you guys? If I'm sitting here as a fan, 62-54, driver's seat for the postseason, I know that's not necessarily what you would mark as a successful season, or would you go as far as saying that? What in your mind makes this one a success?
Yeah, again, when you're sitting in the middle of a pennant race, you want to win the division, find a way to get to the postseason, and win the World Series. Like, I don't think we've been shy about saying our goal as an organization is to win the World Series, and that will continue to be our focus. And hopefully, we're closer to that goal now, sitting here in August, than we were back in March. And that's kind of where I know my focus remains for the balance of the season, and I know that's where our players and coaches and Tito are focused. And, you know, hopefully we realize that. If we fall short, we'll have time in the offseason to look back and kind of assess what happened over the course of the year and what that means for us moving forward.
I know you're not going to answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Is there anyone that has exceeded your expectations on this roster of, like, wow, okay. Like Oscar Gonzalez, like, you know, we've thought of him as like a big power guy, maybe some swing and miss in there, but he's actually put the ball in play a little bit more than I thought that he would. Is there anyone who's exceeded expectations with you or showed you something that you weren't quite sure would be sort of in the toolbox at the major league level?
That's a good question. I mean, it's hard. You know, I would be reluctant to single any guy out.
I know you would be.
but I mean, and part of the reason, Jason, you know why, is like, I think we spend, once guys are in the organization and they have opportunities, we are solely focused on how do we help them get better and be the best version of themselves, and not like evaluate what is their ceiling or what do we think they're going to be. Like, let's put them out there and they'll tell us what they're going to be. And I think we've seen great examples of that. Like, think of Andrés Giménez and what he's been able to do over the course of the season. And like, if you were to ask me to forecast exactly what his, you know, metrics would be over the course of the season, I'm not sure anyone could have done that. But what we've instead tried to do is partner with Andrés and work with him and give him the opportunities. And he's a tremendous worker, a great teammate. And we've seen when, you've got the right group of guys doing things the right way in the right environment, what's possible.
Chris, you watching anything on TV these days, or is it just MLB Network on loop?
I'm watching a lot of baseball right now. So caught some of the Browns preseason game the other day. But other than that, it's a lot of baseball right now.
What'd you think of Deshaun Watson's arm in limited time, Chris?
Yeah, I'll leave those assessments. I know my role well as a fan, and I'll.
I love that answer, me, by the way.
Over there, so.
I love everything about that answer. I want my GM to only be watching, my president to only be watching MLB Network, and that's all he focuses on. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate the time. Very gracious with it, and we'll catch up with you later.
My pleasure, guys. Always great to be with you. Take care.
Thanks, Chris.
A couple things I need to react to there. One, I love a GM that is like, I only watch baseball tonight in MLB Network, and I will not partake in anything else. It sounds kind of crappy to say, because like I want my GMs, I want people in life in general to have a life outside of work. But when it comes to the sports teams that I watch, I kind of want my GM to just be, and my president of baseball operations, to just be almost robotic when it comes to how much they love and consume and take in baseball.
Well, I think they're all like that across all sports. I've had conversations with guys where you're trying to come up with some minute highlight or something. You saw like, oh, yeah, I saw that. I know that. Even on like an NBA GM watches the college game or vice versa. Like they are just infused in their sport.
They're junkies.
They have time in the off season, but I mean it's August, man. Like it's go time.
This is it. This is the time.
Yeah.
If not now, then when? It's like it's like when Sean McDermott over the off season was like, I've decided I'm no longer sleeping over at the office. I've earned it. I've done enough in life. I now am no longer spending nights in the office overnight. And people were like, yeah. That's a reasonable thing to say.
I do think that they take this to the extreme. I think it's
silly.
They do. I think
it's been rampant. My entire existence on this earth, I've understood that if you're a GM of a baseball team or an NFL team or an NBA team, you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Like, you are that extreme about what this is, which is, again, it's what you have to do to get to the top, so you do what you have to do. But the work-life balance is not there.
But the NFL seems to take it worse than the other sports. They really try and flex on the slept in my office, slept on the couch, was here 14
hours. It's a badge of honor for them.
18 hours.
Which is insane.
It's silly. You think the hours 14 to 18 are going to help you on the cover two that much more? I mean, at some point, it just becomes too much.
Yeah, but they have to really think there's an advantage there or else they wouldn't do it, right?
I mean, it's only 17 a year, as opposed to the other sports of 82 and 162. I mean, think about it. It's 17 games and we spend 348 days a year talking about the other 17, basically, in what we do.
You did quick math there.
I did.
I could see your head roll. At first, I thought you said 348, and I'm like, oh, no, Jason doesn't know there's 365 days in the year. And then you did the math on 17, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what he's doing there. Okay.
So it does put that much more pressure on.
Would have been way more entertaining,
Sunday,
by the way, if you did not know how many days were in a year. I'm just going to put that out there.
Well,
a lot better for content if
actually,
you genuinely went through your whole life thinking 348 was the number.
Well, for a minute there, I was thinking about leap year and do I need to count leap year or not? And,
man.
My brain works in really weird ways.
Could you imagine having a leap year baby? And then just like, I guess I only get to celebrate your birthday once every 4 years.
Yeah, no.
That would be awful. But they go to the extremes. I was thinking about this with I was listening to Ken and Anthony earlier today, and Lima kept talking about the bounces the different ways and how in a 17-game season, like, we spend so much time analyzing and thinking of all these different things. In a 17-game season, you get different bounces, different ways. But this is the difference there. And I like that we have in a front office in Chris Antonetti. I really do believe teams are starting to look at them the way that they look at the Patriots in the NFL, where it's like, you guys are too good at this. You won the Class A deal. Well, really, we call it the Kluber deal, but it was Class A, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You won the Clevenger deal. You're winning the Francisco Lindor deal, which is supposed to be a deal. There's no chance you're supposed to win that deal. Every deal they've made has turned into their favor to a point where you start to wonder, like, maybe teams will start to say, maybe we don't want to deal with you guys. Or the first guy you say, maybe we'll take that guy off the board and we'll go for number two guy that you said.
They are human. Because the Bowery deal has not turned out to their advantage. That's the one deal you can point to that say, yeah, it wasn't a great deal.
That's fair.
Franmil Reyes was just DFA'd. I think he was. I don't think they have anyone left in the organization.
Franmil, you did get a 30-year season out of him, though. 30-homer season.
Yeah,
out of him.
You did. It wasn't a total bust, but in terms,
it's not like he never saw the field. Like when they made the deal for the Andrew Miller deal, for instance, and you send Sheffield and Clint Frazier, all these guys that have just not done anything in the big leagues. It's not like the Yankees are like, oh, we really got you got roasted on that one.
I do believe that guys develop a reputation. I think you're right. I go back to the great Moneyball scene where, you know, Brad Pitt calls him and says, I forget who he was trying to unload. Might have been Giambi. He's like, what's the matter with him? Like, why are you calling me? What are you up to? And I think that it probably is that way when, you know, Chris Antonetti's on line one or Mike Chernoff's on line one. If you're another team, you have to kind of look at that and go, all right, what's the matter? Like, what are you trying to pull on me here?
I like that you called him Brad Pitt. Do you also call Paul DePodesta Jonah Hill?
I do not.
That's not a thing that you do. Okay, I just want to make sure. He got a very unsupportive cast role in that one.
But even Chris sort of joked, and it is funny. If you look at how many deals they made with the Padres, it's stunning over the last 5-6 years how much those organizations align, and clearly they value the same things in players and they like each other's players. But the way that
There is a difference there, though, and I'll get to your main point on that, Jason. But like I think, at least in my estimation, you know, Padres for the longest time were dealing with very similar money than what the Guardians were dealing with, right? Now, the San Diego Union-Tribune did a deep dive on that, and they exposed some of the different ways that the Padres, through even stadium renovations, were getting $50 million kickbacks and different things that the Guardians never got anywhere close to that type of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But they changed their baseball philosophy this trade deadline.
Who, Guardians?
No, the Padres.
How so?
Pushed all the chips in the middle of the table.
Oh, they've done that before.
Multiple trades for guys that the Guardians would never do. The Guardians would not do those deals.
The Padres have been doing that for years.
Now, I'm not going to say they did that for years.
Oh, yeah, they have. The
Hosmer deal, is that what you want to go to?
No, Machado was a free agent, right?
Machado was a free agent. They didn't trade for him.
Clevenger, it wasn't quite as high of top prospects.
Blake Snell, is that what you're going for?
Yeah. Snell was the one
Snell was one that I would give them credit for that, but it's still
and there's
the
another
way
one.
They got to the point where they now currently stand, way different than any Guardians team would be constructed.
But the Padres, very much like what we were talking about with Chris, the Padres had an overload of minor leaguers, and they had to start bundling these guys up and moving them before they got to the point where they had to be added to the 40-man roster and be lost at the Rule 5 draft. And that's why you saw them do a lot of these bundle trades, like the Clevenger deal, like the Snell deal. I feel like there's another one in there.
Which I wonder, though. I wonder, do you think the Guardians are going to have to do something like that this offseason with the bevy of talent that they have?
I do. I think that, you know, I mean, part of the reason, I mean, listen, Franmil had an awful year. An awful year this year.
Yeah.
But to see them move on from him as quickly as they did, I think had a lot to do with the 40-man roster situation that we've been talking about. Jake Bowers hung around for 2 years. We knew Jake Bowers sucked. And he still held on for 2 years, and look how quickly they moved off Franmil.
There's a lot of guys that just kind of hung around for a very long time.
And look how quickly they moved off Franmil.
That's a good point.
And I think and they are going to get to the point where they have to start bundling some of these guys together and packaging some of these guys together and making some really difficult decisions. And part of it is, who are you going to, not necessarily give up on, but who are you comfortable moving on from of this group that you've seen? I've seen enough of Oscar Gonzalez. I want to see more.
For sure.
Nolan Jones, it's a really small sample size.
Still
I've seen
him.
Enough.
Still
I want to see
him.
More.
Yeah.
George Valera is still in AAA. He could be better than all of them. Like, who are you going to give up? And we haven't gotten to Espino and Gavin Williams. So
Arias, too.
It's some and Arias and Brian Rocchio.
Yeah.
So who of this group, you have to make really hard decisions, and eventually they're going to have to bundle guys and move
on. I think that's where, I hate to say it, but I think Rosario's 1 foot out the door, right?
Yeah, he is. And we got Zach Meisel coming up. Zach and I did a piece a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Where I said, like, hey, call me crazy, hear me out. Is Rosario the shortstop of the future? Look how much better he's gotten defensively. And look at how much better he's grown into this role. Maybe that's the guy you hang on to. And Zach said no, and we can talk
to him
about
it. We'll
talk
to Zach. Zach's joining us at 5:40.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit PitchHitRun.com today.